name of our Lord and Savior. In this powerful message, discover how hearing and hearing the Word of God preached does not impact faith, but unlocks God's flow of supply and miracles into every area of your life. Be encouraged to keep hearing the preached Word and begin to see God impact His wisdom to you, supply your needs, and work miracles in your life.
I choose to trust you. I will receive this blessed word of prophecy that our sufferings are over, that our weepings are over. Lord, we speak this word into the life of anyone this morning whose life is surrounded with plenty of fears. This morning, the Lord is delivering you. Your fears are over. For God did not create you to worry or fear. We declare that that which has been staring you at the face that causes you to fear, the Lord of heaven will silence it. You are free from your fear. You are free from your suffering. Worry no more, for the Lord is in control. Thank you, Eternal Father. Bless this choir, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Let's turn our Bibles to Matthew chapter 24. We read from verse 32 to 35. Matthew 24. Reading from verse 32 to 35. Okay, let us rise. Okay, since the verses are few and we have them projected, I like us to read together. This time around, you read your own version and let all of us read the different versions that we are holding. So because we are reading different versions, I want you to read and understand what you are reading and not be in competition with another person. So Matthew 24, taken from verse 32 to 35. Are we there? Okay, so let's go now. 1, 2.
Now learn the parable of the fig tree. Burn his branch is yet tender. But you know that summer is now. So like Christ here. When you see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away.
Let's bow our heads together. We thank you, blessed Lord, for your word. And we ask you that through these words you will bless us. You will speak to us. You will minister to our lives. You will prepare us for your coming kingdom. And your name will forever be glorified. Thank you, everlasting Father. All glory we give to you. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Please be seated. Beginning this morning, by the grace of God, I will be speaking on the parables of Christ's second coming. The parables of Christ's second coming. But the topic I'll be sharing with you today is signs are for warning. Can you look at somebody and say, signs are for warning? Now, I want to read my introduction from the bulletin, which is what you have as Pastor's Corner. the parables of Christ's second coming. Often Jesus spoke through parables in order to teach very important truths. In the matter of his second coming, in addition to the pictures he used for illustration, he went on to narrate four very interesting and important parables to wrap up his long sermon about the end of age. These parables are aimed at aiding his disciples in their preparations towards his return. He told the parable of the fig tree to alert his disciples to be sensitive to signs. Matthew 24:32-35, which we have read. Then he gave the parable of master and servants to teach that we must be faithful in what he has committed to us. Matthew 24:45-51. He told another parable of the 10 virgins to teach the importance of readiness at all times. Matthew 25:1-13. Finally, he told the parable of the talents, which reminds us of being at the interim between two advents. This can be found in Matthew 25 from verse 14, I guess, to 40. And all of this reminds us that our Lord's return is near and we must prepare. Now, there are more than four parables in the New Testament. Many times when Jesus taught people, and of course, he has been considered among all those who have the knowledge of teaching to be the best teacher of all times. And one of the ways Jesus teaches is by using illustrations. Parables are like illustrations. They come in form of stories. And the truth is that you know when we hear stories, they stay with us for a very long time. And those stories can be of benefit to us when they are connected to teaching certain truth. Because when we remember the stories, we can easily remember the truth that is being taught. And no wonder Jesus taught many truths, and he used many parables. The parable we are considering today is the parable of the fig tree. The fig trees in Palestine, they are not like most of the other trees. And I want to establish why Jesus chose this tree for his parable, for his illustration. These trees lost their leaves seasonally. They lost their leaves seasonally. And as such, their fruit is always an indication that a season is gone. So Jesus used the fig tree as illustration in connection with the temple's desolation to indicate that once the judgment fell on the temple, the believers should know that it is a sign of the beginning of Christ's return. Remember that in Matthew chapter 24, he started talking about the temple. His disciples looked at the temple, very beautiful, very magnificent a building. And as they were admiring that building, Jesus told them, look at this building very carefully. A time is coming that not a stone will stand on the other, that this temple will be destroyed. If you go from Matthew 24, verse 1, and his disciples became so curious about that kind, why would Jesus talk about this magnificent building coming down, being raised down? And so he led them to Mount Olives, from where they can catch the full glimpse of the temple building
And then he continued his teaching. And it was in connection with his teaching about the destruction of the temple that he started with this parable of the fig trees. This parable admonishes alertness to signs that point to a forthcoming event. Now, one of the characteristics of the fig tree is that the twigs, as we have it in NIV, or the sap in the King James, once they begin to rise, this usually is indicated by the tender buds, and then leaves will come up. Among people in Palestine, they know that once you see these things on the fig tree, it gives no room for doubt that summer is near. The sign of the fig tree is a very clear one. There may be other signs that we see sometimes that may be misleading. Sometimes you wake up in the morning and you see the cloud, and it appears as though Harmattan is already here. But before you know it, as the sun rises, whatever mist or whatever you see in the sky suddenly disappears. And then you know that this is not Harmattan. Sometimes also, when it is not rainy season, you could see clouds gathering, and it gives an impression that we are about entering rainy season, and all of a sudden it will disappear. But the fig tree has this characteristic that is very constant with it. Once you see the twigs, you see the tender buds, and then the new leaves coming up, it gives no room for doubt. Summer was near. And the people understood it very well. And in the same way, Jesus intends that his followers should consider the desolation of the temple when it eventually happens as a sure sign that is pointing to the coming of the Son of Man. So he told them, this thing I'm telling you about this temple, when you see it happening, it is the first sign that what I have told you about my second coming will definitely come to pass. And of course, when you read in verse 33, you have verse 33 here. It says, as soon as it twigs get tender and it leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see all these things, you know that it is near, right at the door. Don't forget, he started talking about the destruction of the temple. Let's go to the next verse. Verse 34. He says, I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away until these things have happened. Many times, when we read this verse, we try to connect it with all of Matthew 24 and 25, that the things Jesus was saying, he said also that all of those things will happen in the lifetime of his disciples. We have to be cautious about that. Jesus was talking about the destruction of the temple. He was talking about the desolation of the temple. And he said, this generation, which was a reference to the generation of his disciples who were listening to his teaching. He said, this generation, and that is also connected to the prophecy about the destruction of the temple. He says, this generation will not pass away until these things happened, as I have said them. And of course, it happened in AD 70. That during the
struggle for Palestine when Vespasian had captured Egypt and he moved towards Israel. At that time, some of his soldiers had gone as far as Rome and they had taken Rome. So Vespasian left Israel, the area of Judea. He left it under the control of his son Titus. And this Titus was a young man with soldiers in his control. And when he couldn't contain the rebellion of the Jewish people, he destroyed Jerusalem and also destroyed the temple. So this thing happened like Jesus said it was going to happen. In AD 70, the magnificent temple structure that his disciples were looking at some few years before that time, and they were considering as something that can never be touched, they saw it being destroyed. And the way Jesus said, no stone will be standing on another. It happened just exactly that way. Now, someone was speaking about the appropriateness of the fig tree as an illustration of the coming judgment. And he says, because the fig tree serves as the ideal announcement of the imminence of summer, it becomes fitting to use its signs as illustrations. And since summer was the season for much of Palestine's harvest, I want you to get the connection. Summer was the season for much of Palestine's harvest. And since also harvest, in turn, is the gospel symbol of the end of the world and judgment, then the fig tree is a perfect parable of Jesus' point. So Jesus used the sign of the fig tree in announcing the nearness of summer and thus making it a very suitable illustration for warnings about the imminence of Christ's return. And like I said, this temple was destroyed in AD 70 and it became the first sign that the prophecies about the second coming of Jesus will be fulfilled. It was as early as that in history. That was the first sign. So going by Christ's teaching, preparation towards that great event ought to have begun as early as the first century. If people were going to prepare for the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus expected them to start preparing as early as the first century. And of course, that preparation started, because the early church was very much conscious of the return of Christ. That was why they lived in that consciousness that Christ was going to come back, because they saw it the same way he predicted it. I want to read that passage again. It says, now learn this from the fig tree. As soon as it twigs, get tender, and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, that's the connection. When you see all these things, the things I have prophesied about the temple and Jerusalem, when you see all these things, you know that it is near, right at the door. I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. And of course, we know the importance of signs, especially road signs. When you are driving at your own speed, maybe cruising at 100 or 120 or sometimes 140, as some people do, be careful. And you suddenly see a sign on the road. Maybe you see the sign of a curve. It is warning you that there is a bend just nearby. And that bend may not tolerate your 140 kilometer per hour. So if you love your life, that sign is for what? It's for warning. They put it there, it's conventional. It's everywhere, all over the world. Because so people will not be confused, it is the same from one country to another. So that you don't say, oh, this is not the way they used to put it in Nigeria. You drive anywhere in the world, you see a bend, a curve like this, they are telling you there is a bend that cannot accommodate your 140 kilometers per hour. So it's a warning. And then, as a careful driver, what do? You slow down. Sometimes you see a sign that says a narrow bridge. You have been warned. You see a sign of caution, say danger. You don't, this one now, they didn't tell you what is the type of danger, but you will be wise to do what? To be warned. You carefully go through it. When that day, when you get there, you know what danger they are talking about. I saw one danger sign somewhere along on the way to Accra in Ghana. And they didn't just put danger, they also wrote, there was an inscription saying, we have lost valuable people around this place. So don't think you are too special. Say, we have, as a country, we have lost valuable people just on this place that we are warning you, be careful. Now, enough of that. Let's see three important lessons that we can learn from Jesus. Number one, because signs are for warning, we should be mindful of signs of the Lord's return. And Jesus did not leave us without telling the disciples what are those signs that they should watch out for. And there are seven signs that Jesus gave in the book of Matthew chapter 24. Now, these are other signs that will be fulfilled in stages. But for him, the destruction of the temple was the first initial sign that whatever he said will come to pass. First was the coming of false Christs. If you read in Matthew 24, verses 4 and 5, Jesus says, this false Christ will come to trick the church. And what was his warning? Watch out that nobody tricks you. You know, signs are for what? They are for warning. Watch out that nobody tricks you. Look at verses 4 and 4. He says, Jesus answered, watch out that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, claiming I am the Christ, and will deceive many. You see the warning? They will deceive many. So don't think you are too special to be deceived. He says, watch out that no man deceives you. The second warning he gave, he says, there will be wars and rumors of wars. Matthew 24, verses 6 and 7 to 7a, he says, you will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. That's the warning. He says, the realities of wars and the news of wars should naturally strike terror in the heart of sensitive people. But Jesus wants his disciples to be different. He doesn't want his disciples to be fearful because God is in control of every situation. Apart from the warning for Christians to be fearful, Christ wants them not to know that a worldwide war situation is not the setting for his return. So he says, but it is not yet the end. I don't know if you are following this. I have given you two signs. In our generation, have we seen false Christs? Yes. In our own generation, have there been wars? And have there been rumors of wars? Yes. And third, he gave the sign that there will be famine and earthquakes in various places. And the other in which Christ presents the various signs of his return reveals a pattern. First, he says, there are spiritual theological disorders. And he says, don't be tricked. And then second, he says, there are social political disorders. He says, don't be terrified. Then now he talks about ecological disorders. I said there will be famine and there will be earthquakes. But he says, it is not yet the end. Don't be afraid. The people who follow Jesus Christ should not live their lives in fear. Matthew chapter 24, verse 7b to 8 says, there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains. Now, one thing about the analogy of birth pains is that there are two things that characterize birth pains. First is the pain that the pregnant woman goes through. And then suddenly, there is the joy that the new mother experiences. And Jesus illustrates that things sometimes don't get better until they get very worst. You see, my worst itself is an adjective. But I've added another adjective to qualify it. Things get better after they have reached the peak of being worst. Sometimes it happens that way. And every woman who has gone through labor will tell you the joy of seeing her baby did not come until she reached the peak of pains. That many women will say, after this child, I will never have another child again. I've even heard funny stories of women slapping their husband. I didn't see it, I just heard stories. Say, come closer, and then he went closer, and then she gave him a pat. Say, you caused all this pain. The husband will not mind her at that time. No problem. Okay? And then he gave another sign, number four, that persecution of believers will be intensified as a sign of his return. Verse 9, it says, then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. Now, the hatred for Christians all over the world is becoming a phenomenon. It's no longer hidden at all. It's no longer hidden. People will do a video to show how they have beheaded people, others who say they are Christians. And they will lay claim to it that we are the ones who did it because we don't want them. Some people who are persecuting Christians feel that the problem of this world is the Christians are the problems of this world. Jesus says, they will hate you for my name's sake. Is it happening now? Yes. And then the fifth sign, it says there will be falling away, betrayal, and hatred among believers. Matthew 24, verse 10. It says, at that time, when many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. Apart from the world being against the church, which the previous verse indicates, a large number from within will be against the church. Not from without, from within. And there will be a mass dropping out. And only real Christians will constitute the final minority. Signs are for what? For warning. Be careful, lest you become a part of the majority that will fall away. Be careful. The sixth sign says there will be the rise of many false prophets, an increase in deceit. Matthew 24:11 says, and many false prophets will appear and deceive many. False teachers or prophets are perhaps the greatest problem of the church. False prophets usually take advantage of people's desperation for authoritative teaching. Jesus warns that when the end is near, false prophets will increase and so deceive many. Do not be deceived. Signs are for warning. And the seventh sign, it says, due to plenty of wickedness, there will be discouragement among Christians. There will be a massive and unprecedented scale of evil at the end time, such that the love of many Christians will freeze. What will be left is out of the teeth kind of love. I love you, brother. That does not really have any depth. That does not, take you fully as that brother that you have been called. Okay, so I move to the second point. I have said because signs are for warning, we should take signs very serious. And that Jesus gave us signs. And I have taken you through 7 signs that Jesus gave us. The second point is that because signs are for warning, we should be more prepared than the early Christians were. Do you agree with me? If the early Christians started preparing because they saw the first sign, how much more should we, who have seen the fulfillment of almost all the signs that Jesus mentioned? The only thing we do not know at the moment is that to what extent, what will be the intensity of the fulfillment of those signs before Jesus will appear. But as for the reality of those 7 signs that Jesus gave, apart from the destruction of the temple, we are living in a generation that we have seen them all. And so if the early church were preoccupied with preparation to meet the Lord, with preparation to have the second coming of the Lord, I think in this generation we need to do much more than that. More signs mean intensified preparations. That is it. If you are traveling on a road and you have been speeding, suddenly you started seeing different signs. See, bend, bumps, narrow bridge, danger. Do you know what that means? You should be more alert than you were before. If you have been chatting with somebody, you are driving and chatting and whatever, this is the time to do what? To concentrate. Sometimes I saw a road safety put a very big billboard, and they said, if you couldn't read this sign, it means you are overspeeding. Something like that. Have you ever seen it before? That you couldn't read what is on this big billboard, it means you are overspeeding. Because if you have been going at the normal rate, it's so big that you should be able to read what is there. And you say, I didn't see it very well. Then tell yourself, you need to be seeing it very well. So more signs mean what? Intensified preparations. Number 3, because signs are for warning, we should give more attention to the words of our Lord. If there is any generation that should pay attention to the words of Jesus Christ, it's this generation. And remember, he says, heaven and earth will pass away. But what? My words will never pass away. We should read more of the words. We should apply more of the words, especially about the prophecies of his second coming. He went away and he promised that he's coming back again. Some other times I'll be talking about what are the ways to prepare for his coming. But I just want you to know that Jesus taught his disciples that when you see a sign, be warned. And these signs are truly there all around us. We have seen the realities of these signs. Are you having the consciousness that the words of Jesus are being fulfilled? And if his words are being fulfilled to our own very eyes, just before our watching, we are seeing them every day. If his words are being fulfilled, is it becoming a very strong reality in your heart that one day, and that's why Jesus says his coming will be like a thief in the night without announcement. That is going to be a surprise. Are you conscious? Are you living in consciousness of the fact that if everything Jesus said will happen, they are happening. If those things are happening, then it is just going to happen without anybody expecting it that he will return. Because he has given us the sign of the thief. He says what? Just like a thief in the night. A thief in the night may not be like our modern day thief. Oh, of course, he's still a thief in the night. Only robbers can announce that we are coming and don't do it. Whatever you do, it still will not stop us because they are armed to do evil. A thief is somebody who wants to take you by surprise and take away something valuable. And Jesus says his coming is going to be like. He didn't say he's. He said he's going to be like. Because the time that a thief comes, you don't expect. It's going to be a time that you don't even suspect anything could happen. Many people whose houses have been burgled in the course of the night will tell you that they just woke up and then maybe somebody first noticed that, did we close this window yesterday night? Say, yeah, I think we did. But why is it open? Then they go closer to that window and also realize that it's not just that the window is opened. Maybe the burglary proof has been forcefully removed. And before they begin, and then people begin to run here and there and begin to check. Say, this is gone. Say, a thief broke into the house. Was that a surprise? Yes. And on the ordinary course of our day-to-day event, Jesus is going to come. And he says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Are these signs important to you? Are they prompting anything in your heart? The way you live today, if that surprise should happen today, are you going to be among the minority that will make it? Remember, Jesus gave another illustration one time. He said, narrow is the road that leads to eternal life, but wide is what? The road that leads to destruction. I say many people are following therein. I want to appeal to you. Today you are in church and you are privileged to listen to be reminded of the words of Jesus. Please, do an evaluation of your life and ask yourself, should Christ come now? Will I be ready to go with him? Because he says, no matter how much we are prepared, we'll still be surprised when he comes. So when you are eventually surprised, will you be caught unawares or you will be caught ready? You know, it's like a very important visitor keeps announcing to you that, don't worry, I'll come. I'll come. I'll visit you someday. Don't worry. Each time you say, but you say you come, the other I say, don't worry, I'll come. Don't worry, I'll come. And suddenly, the visitor decides to come when you least expect that person to come. You will be found, number one, you have been it's a surprise. But to now be prepared to host him will say that in spite of being surprised, you are ready. But to say, if you had told me you are going to come today, is to say that you have been surprised and you are not ready. In spite of all the warning signs that your visitor had given you that I'll come. It's the same thing. Jesus is saying, I am coming. And he says, my words will not pass away. So let it be that when he comes eventually, which is definitely still going to be a surprise to all of us, if he comes at our own time, then be ready when he comes. Let us pray.
This message was brought to you from the ministry of Victory Baptist Church, Aja, 527 Lewis Street, by Sweetwaters, Aja, Lagos. Telephone 0807 460 4212. or 0807-460-4250. Email info@vbcajah.org. You can also visit our website on www.vbcajah.org. Victory Baptist Church. We are the light on the peninsula.